supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Dan Gottlieb. Thanks for listening to Voices in the Family. You know, last week I had to wait an hour and a half for my 15-minute doctor visit. Not only that, but my daughter hasn't called me in 2 weeks, and don't let me get started about my boss. Oh, I could go on. But, of course, you really don't want me to, do you? We don't like to hear people complain. It doesn't make us feel good. So, why do we do it? And what do we hope to accomplish? Well, complaining really is a form of communication, but that type of communication can have consequences for our physical, our mental health, and the health of our relationships. Obviously, today's show's about complaining, why we do it, what it means, and how to stop. I've got two guests joining me today, both of whom are experts on complaining, which is kind of an odd way to introduce people. Does that mean they complain well? We'll find out. Dr. Robin Kowalski is a professor of psychology at Clemson, and she's the author of the book Complaining, Teasing, and Other Annoying Behaviors. Robin, nice to have you on the show. Do we have you? We're having some difficulties with her line. We're also joined by Will Bowen. He's a motivational speaker and author of A Complaint-Free World. Will, welcome.
Thank you very much, Dan. It's good to be with you.
And we would love to hear from you, our callers. Our number is 888-477-9499. Perchance, are you a complainer? I'll bet you know someone who is a complainer. And what to do? Do you turn them off? Do you listen with compassion? What to do? Give us a call, 888-477-9499. And I'm told we've got Robin on the phone, on our lines set up now. Robin?
Hi there.
Hey, Robin. Welcome.
Can you hear me now? Hey there.
Can hear you very well. Thanks.
So great. Will, thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, sure. It's going to be fun. Will, let's start with you. How do you define complaining?
Well, the dictionary defines complain as to express grief, pain, or discontent. Now, my definition is a little bit different. My definition of complaining is an energetic statement that focuses on the problem rather than the solution. What I mean by that is I can say that it's cold in Kansas City. That's a statement of fact. That's not a complaint. But if I put negative energy or how dare the world do this to me, energy behind it, such as, oh, it's cold in Kansas City, that's complaining. It has to do with our energy.
Robin, you defined it back in 1996?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What was your definition?
Well, I defined it as an expression of dissatisfaction, whether you subjectively feel it or not. Because I think that gets at sort of a crux of the matter, that a lot of times we complain even when we're not feeling dissatisfied. So I may sit there and say, it's cold outside when, you know, maybe it's really not. But I'm using complaining to achieve some other outcome.
So it is a form of communication. We are trying to say something to someone about something. But it might not even have to do with the temperature outside.
Right, and I think that's a good way to describe it. I think it is a form of communication. We may use it as an icebreaker in a doctor's office, just to, you know, as a way of communicating to total strangers. And some of those functions can be beneficial, and some of them may not.
Will, you were going to say something.
I was just going to say that we not only complain to communicate, but we also complain to obtain an outcome. Robin actually distilled the five reasons people complain, and as I have been focusing on this with the Complaint-Free World in 106 countries and 10 million people doing this, I find that Robin's five reasons for the reasons people complain pretty much hold up. And So a lot of times, not to get into them prematurely, but a lot of times people just complain because they want to get attention, because that's one of the reasons people complain. So it's a way of communication, but it's also meeting, in many cases, social or emotional needs that we may not even realize we have.
Well, Robin, let me turn to you. What's the difference between complaining and telling one's story?
Yeah. Well, sometimes they're one and the same thing. Sometimes you can tell your story, you can just do it in the form of a complaint. But, you know, I think Will's point is well taken that, you know, sometimes you can tell your story, but you can do it with that little whine attached to it. And if you have that negative affect attached to it, then you're telling your story in a way that potentially going to elicit negative outcomes.
You said in your book that the late Andy Rooney took a shot at you when he said if this guy had his way, I'd be out of a job. But that really is the underpinning of all comedy, isn't it? It's a complaint.
I've never really looked at it that way, Dan. I don't know that I would classify that all comedy is necessarily a complaint. I have heard, though, that if you look at laughter, we tend to laugh when in other situations we might cry. In other words, we look at the Three Stooges and Moe hits Curly on the head with a hammer, we laugh, probably out of Schadenfreude, but actually we also are laughing because in some cases it's an emotional release when actually we would like to, you know, would feel more comfortable to feel compassion or sadness for what's going on.
Yeah. I want to give out the phone numbers again. We're talking about complaining, what it is, what it's not, and what happens when we're listening to complainers over and over again. Our number is 888-477-9499. We'd love to hear your story. Again, that's 888-477-9499. Your entree, Will, into this whole field began when you were giving a series of talks on prosperity, when another speaker introduced the four spiritual laws of prosperity. What did she say, and how did prosperity get you into complaining?
Well, you know, I feel like I'm standing on the shoulders of some brilliant people, including Dr. Robin Kowalski, who's with us now. Edwin Gaines was the first person to say that, as Wayne Dyer says, we say that we want more, more, more in our lives, but if we're so unhappy with what we have, why in the world would we want more? So what Edwin Gaines recommended was that we begin to be grateful for what we have and to diminish our complaining about what we currently have to attract more. So she suggested we go 21 consecutive days without complaining. I handed out a little purple bracelet, 250 that Sunday, and invited people that every time you complain, switch the bracelet to the other wrist. That way you know what day you're on. If you're trying to go 21 consecutive days, for example, I'm on 10 days. And it just exploded around the world. I then started doing research into other people who have discovered a lot about complaining, and that's how I met Robin Kowalski.
Huh. So the task is to not complain for 21 days. That's I don't know, as a psychologist, that's an awful lot of abstinence here. I mean, Robin, what happened to baby steps here?
Well, importantly, my next-door neighbor, who is a counselor, one of her colleagues uses the 21-day program in relationship counseling. So the idea there is not even just for yourself. Well, it is directly for yourself, but if you find yourself, let's say you're in marital counseling and you find yourself complaining about your relationship partner, then you have to switch the bracelet to the other arm. I think the crux of the matter, and I think why the program works so well, is it's mindfulness. I mean, it's making you aware of your own complaining, free associative complaining or complaining about specifically about another person, as in the case of, you know, like relationship counseling or something like that. And I'll tell you, when I first started doing research in this area, I heard it everywhere. I mean, it was just like ghosts coming out of the walls. I mean, people were complaining all the time because I was so aware of it because that's what my research focus was.
Robin, may I interject, too, because I have spoken to crowds as large as 4,500 people all over the world, and I always tell them, after hearing me speak, you're going to hear complaints like you've never heard before. And the point is, we are immersed. I always use the analogy of like back in the 60s when everyone smoked. And so you walked into a room and you didn't notice the smell of smoke because everyone smoked. Nowadays, we notice it. Well, we are surrounded by all this negativity and complaining until we become mindful of it. As you say, we're not even aware.
Well, I want to follow up on that because sometimes complaining is really the voice of injustice, isn't it? It's a way of saying, you know, I'm experiencing something that I'm feeling, you know, is unfair, or I'm feeling alone. It's like when somebody turns to a stranger in a waiting room of a doctor's office. And it's a way of kind of bridging a social gap or even starting a social movement.
Jump in here because I agree. And I think it can be a good icebreaker used in moderation. You know, if you say, as is typical in doctor's offices, you know, or any kind of situation like that, we've been waiting a long time, and it allows you to establish a, you know, conversation with somebody that's a total stranger to you, you know, that can be a beneficial use of it. You know, sometimes complaining for cathartic reasons, again, used strategically and in moderation, can allow you to express things that maybe you haven't expressed before, and I think that can be beneficial. I think it goes back to the mindfulness, though. I think we need to become, you know, I mean, everybody complains, albeit to different degrees, everybody. But I think, you know, if we're mindful complainers and if we're strategic complainers, then, you know, we're going to be aware of different types of complaining. There's expressive complaining where you're just, you know, sort of talking off the top of your head about what's bothering you. Maybe it is an injustice. And I think that's a very good point. But there's also instrumental complaining. You know, if my cable repeatedly goes out or the phone service repeatedly goes out or whatever it is, then, you know, it's not going to do me any good to go and complain to my neighbor about that repeatedly because, you know, my neighbor can't fix it. But if I engage in instrumental complaining and complain to the company who is the source of that service, then potentially, hopefully, that will get the service fixed.
Let's go to the phones here, Will, because we've got a lot of callers who want to join the conversation. We'll start with Kate. Hey, Kate.
Yes, Doctor. Hi. It just sort of occurred to me as you guys were talking about it that I do use complaining to as a social thing. I was standing on the line at the post office the other day, and it was a very long line. And I was getting very bored, and I wasn't even thinking about how nice it was outside. But I said, oh, isn't it wonderful that we don't have that cold winter anymore? That winter was horrible. And I just said that to the woman standing next to me. And then we started talking about other things. It segued into a lot more than that, and our post office line didn't seem all that bad. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Just curious, Kate, when you said it segued, did it segue into other things you were unhappy with?
Yes, it did. The woman talked about how hard it was shoveling all winter and how she hated that. And she had
So what you're doing really hits on some research that has been done. I really appreciate your call and what it brings up. Robin, you want to talk about that research that...
I will, because it sounds like in her case it worked out really well. So the complaining served as a social lubricant and it allowed the time to pass really quickly. And that's a beneficial effect of complaining. The risk of that social lubricant is, in her case it didn't happen because, you know, it just made the time pass quickly. But what can happen is it can create what's called a domino effect of complaining, or there's actually a Winnie the Pooh book called The Galloping Grumps, and it can lead to this sort of one-upsmanship where, you know, maybe what could have happened in her scenario was, you know, her neighbor or the person she was talking to in the line says, I had to shovel all the snow, and then she might have said, oh, well, you know, my roof collapsed because of the snow, and then, you know, it creates this, well, my story's worse than your story. So, again, mindfulness can enter in, and you just have to be careful about escalating the degree to which the complaining is, or the direction of the complaining is.
Will, you said that complaining is like bad breath. You said you don't notice when it comes out of our mouth. You only notice it when it comes out of others. I just want to tell you something about that metaphor, Will. It's disgusting.
Oh,
just, it's so true,
I appreciate,
though.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate you speaking directly only to me about it, therefore you're not complaining.
Yeah.
See, to me, that's the big distinction I make, and that is, for me, and that is that I don't believe that if I'm speaking to the person who can resolve an issue, it's complaining. I actually draw a distinction for me personally, and that is that, Eckhart Tolle says there's no ego in telling the waiter your soup is cold and needs to be heated up if you stick to the facts, which are always neutral. So if I tell the person at the store or at the cable company there's an issue needs to be resolved, to me that's not complaining. To turn around and, as Robin said, complain to my spouse, my friends, etc., who can do nothing about it, that's complaining. That's the complaining I'm seeking to eradicate.
All right, so let's shift gears a little bit to the other side of the complaint department. Let's go to the phones. We've got Jack on the line. Hi, Jack.
Hello.
Hey. What can we do for you here? Sure.
Well, I want to complain about something, about my wife. Now, seriously, I would like to know if there are any tools out there that without escalating the argument or harming my wife in any way, but only to get her to stop, or if she complains about something, what can I say in order to neutralize and without her saying, well, you're just too optimistic or blah, blah, blah.
So let me take a wild guess here, Jack, that you are trying to tell her it's not as bad as she thinks it is, and it goes from a complaint to getting PO'd at you. How am I? Am I warm there?
Very angry at me.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't have the money, like, to fix the dishwasher.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think it is valid, but we can't fix it today. But I would love it if it didn't become a fight.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me just say this, and then I want to turn to the real experts here too. But you can't fix the dishwasher today. Please try not to fix your wife's attitude today also, because you know where that's going to go, you know, because you push that envelope, she's going to wind up putting you in the dishwasher, Jack. So so you better be thankful that it's broken here. All right, let's go to the real experts here and you know, Will, Robin, what do we do on the other side? What do we do when somebody complains and we feel helpless?
You go ahead, Robin.
Thanks, Will.
I've got something if you want me to go first. You want me to say what I say?
Go ahead.
Well, first of all, Dan, you made a wonderful point, and that is that people say, oh, I want to try and get somebody to stop complaining, and that's just like trying to get them to stop smoking or whatever. Until they're ready, and most people don't even realize how negative they are. But what I find is, so it's best to just let them be. But the best thing I find is a little bit of conversational jujitsu. And that is when someone starts complaining, you say, what's going well? In other words, they're complaining about their children. Well, what's going well with your child? What do you like about your child? What's going well with this? They complain about their job. What do you like? What do you like about your job? What's going well? If you keep saying, what is going well? What is going well? Oftentimes, you can redirect a person to where they begin to focus on and talk about it.
Robin?
I also think that there's a gender difference, and we've got some data to support mm-hmm. this. There tends to be a gender difference in the frequency of complaining, and I want to be careful that there's not a misinterpretation of what that gender difference means. You know, we've done research on pet peeves, which are complaints about very specific things, like, you know, why doesn't he or she always, you know, why do they always leave the toilet paper roll off the holder? You know, so they're very specific complaints. But women tend to express more pet peeves than men do. And these were pet peeves about a relational partner, which fits with the caller's request. But I don't think it means that men are necessarily more annoying. I don't know that it necessarily means women are more sensitive. I think it means that men and women frame complaining differently. And I the best way I can sum it up is to say that what women view as confiding, men might be more likely to view as complaining. So, you know, his wife may, you know, there's no way to know the entire situation, but maybe she just is trying to confide in him, you know, but as a man, you know, it's coming across as complaints to him.
So, you know, she may not really be looking for a solution to, you know, again, depending on the situation, she may just be confiding information about how she feels about whatever the particular situation is.
Well, I've got to tell you, I listened to her complaints through the ears of a clinician, and I wonder what's underneath it, what's underneath the whining, and, you know, what's the emotion back there? And it might be frustration or helplessness or a sense of futility or all of these emotions that are underneath the word dishwasher or underneath the word complaint. Now, you know, to be able to see a person behind the words complaint, you know, to see a person under there who obviously is feeling some distress, and it's coming out in a way that's distancing, but obviously feeling some distress. I mean, if you can get to that point in a conversation, you know, then the complaint's going to go away pretty quickly, if you can. Listen, we're going to have to take a short break, Rob and Will. We've been talking about complaining and what it means, how to deal with it, and we've been inviting your calls here at 888-477-9499. But as many of you may know, it's our spring pledge break, and I want to ask you, instead of talking about complaining, take a page out of what Will Bowen just said. What's good about this show? What's good about WHYY? And if you can answer those questions, well, talk to Mike and Scott and Jennifer Lynn about that. We're going to be leaving you for just a few minutes.
Yeah.
Mike and Jennifer are going to be taking over, and as they have many times in Voices in the Family.
Yeah, we are hijacking this, John. This is WHYY. I am Jennifer Lynn with Mikan and Pledge Central with volunteers from CASA. All right, I asked them to do that. Court-appointed special advocates. We're enjoying a little lunch here from Four Fathers in Philadelphia as we entertain your calls this afternoon. We're hoping you'll come through with us right now. Give us a call, 1-888-345-9499. Pledge your support for Voices and the Family. We're looking for 20 calls this hour, Mikan.
Mm-hmm. 20 calls for Voices and the Family. I like that thing the guest just said about when somebody is complaining, just incessantly, and you can say, well, what do you like about your job? Or is there anything you like about your neighbors? Or that kind of thing. I think I'm going to start doing that in the future. So there's always something helpful that you learn when listening to Voices in the Family. And we're hoping that right now you'll take that moment to support it. 1-888-345-9499. Voices is almost going to turn 30.
I was just thinking about that today.
It's like, yeah, it's one of our flagship shows that has been around thanks to listeners just like you. So why don't you be the first person to make that pledge in honor of Voices in the Family and all the great advice that we get, you know, from Dan Gottlieb.
I am not complaining. I think we can handle 20 calls.
Yeah.
Get those phones going right now.
There you go.
Hello, hello. Or online at whyy.org. It does not take much time. You can pledge as much as you would like to. And what does your money do for us? It sustains the show that you listen to every Monday at noon, Voices in the Family, and all our programming. It's been on the air for almost 30 years, like Mikan says. It helps us develop new programming, like our health and science program, The Pulse, which Mikan is hosting. You make a difference by just picking up the phone or going online. 1-888-345-9499 right now or online at whyy.org.
And actually, Jennifer, there is a piece of original research being done with today's show, in a way. There is a survey that's on the Voices website where people can take a survey and see where they fall on the academic complaining scale.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. No, I'm going to take it. I want to know. Self-awareness is is the first step to getting better, right? So, and this research is going to help our guests today to do more research. So this is actually kind of very cool that listeners today can participate in this survey, which then feeds into this research. research on complaining. So you can do that at whyy.org/voices. And that's also a great place if you're looking for archive shows. We've covered so many topics over the years.
Goodness, yes.
Jennifer, of course, used to produce Voices in the Family before taking on her new gig as our great Morning Edition host here at WHYY. So there's a lot there at the Voices website that can be helpful to you. 1-888-345-9499 is the number to call to make this kind of programming possible.
Mike, and I'm told this is the only time in this membership drive, like from now through when we finish up, that we're going to have extended time to talk about Voices in the Family in particular. So if you're a listener, if you're a lover of what Dan is doing, and I know you are, I know you're listening right now, you're having your lunch, you're out in the garden with the radio, you're in your car, you're going to pause for a moment, pull over, give us a call, 1-888-345-9499. Now is the time to do it. We won't have time later. It's this show right now. Here's your chance.
That is your chance. And there's another person calling toward our goal of 20 people during Voices in the Family. One more time, the number 1-888-345-9499, or join us online at whyy.org. Don't complain about the state of the world. Do something to make it better.
The Philadelphia Foundation supports WHYY. The Philadelphia Foundation helps make nonprofits stronger, offering workshops and services designed to increase effectiveness and build the capacity of organizations throughout southeastern Pennsylvania. The Philadelphia Foundation can help you support the organizations you care about today and forever while you receive tax deductions. The Philadelphia Foundation, 215-563-6417, or online at philafound.org.
Devereaux is a proud supporter of WHYY. For more than 100 years, Devereaux has provided care to individuals with developmental disabilities and mental and behavioral health disorders. Devereaux's work also includes its full continuum of autism-specific programming for individuals of all ages, including residential services, community-based group homes, employment training, and support and educational programs. For more information on Devereaux's autism-specific services, devereaux.org.
We are back on Voices in the Family. I'm Dan Gottlieb. We're talking about complaining, why we do it, what we hope to accomplish. Dr. Robin Kowalski is a professor of psychology at Clemson and author of the book Complaining, Teasing, and Other Annoying Behaviors. Will Bowen is a motivational speaker. He's written A Complaint-Free World. Our number is 888-477-9499. Hey, listen, have you ever had a relationship that was ruined by excessive complaining? Or how do you deal with complainers, especially those you just can't avoid, like the ones you're related to or are in your family? 888-477-9499. Robin, before our break, you were talking about what women and what men complain about, how they experience complaining. But I want to follow up on this phenomenon of the original research that our listeners are going to be a part of. You've written something called the Complaining Propensity Scale, basically to find out if people are chronic complainers or merely occasional whiners. This is the first time it's been on the web like this, and we've put it on our website, whyy.org/voices. Tell us how this unfolded just recently in the last couple of days.
Well, the Complaining Propensity Scale has actually been around for a while, but when I was talking to your team, we decided that it would be sort of fun to have it with a wider audience. And one of the things we're interested in is looking at sort of geographical differences, because the thought is that not only are there likely to be cultural differences, but also that maybe there might be differences in complaining propensity between people in the South versus people in the Northeast or Northwest. We've done a study years ago looking at letters to the editor in the different areas, but that was a long time ago. So we want to kind of extend the research and just see what we can find.
Tell us about the scale. What kinds of things do you look at? What kinds of things do you ask?
Well, it's a very short scale. It has 14 items on it, and it's basically looking at the frequency with which people express this dissatisfaction in sort of different situations. So each of the items is looking at a different situation in which someone might express their dissatisfaction. So, you know, it's unlikely that somebody is going to, they rate each of the items on a 1 to 5 scale, and it's unlikely that someone's going to put a 5 on every single item. But if they do, that's fine too. But the higher their score, the more frequently they complain.
I want to look at the larger context here. And Will, I'm sure you've got an opinion here. Are we complaining more, Robin, than we have in the past?
That's a really good question. Oh, so go ahead, Will.
No, I was just going to say I don't I don't feel that we've gotten any better or more good or more adept at complaining. I just think we've gotten very good at disseminating it. I mean, when you consider Twitter, Yelp, Facebook, Instagram, etc., our complaints now, instead of being to our next door neighbor when something happens, now get reverberated around the world.
Hmm. And Robin, do you have an opinion about whether we're doing it more?
You know, I think it's been around forever, but the research hasn't. So we don't have really any, you know, longitudinal data to look at what the extent to which prevalence rates of complaining have changed. But I think Will's point's well taken, that we just have so many different ways in which to disseminate our complaining. Social media has changed so the nature of so many different phenomena, and I think complaining is certainly one of those. I mean, it takes no time on Facebook to see just a myriad of different complaints that people express.
Well, now that we're talking about social media, let's talk about gossip. I think, Will, you talked about third-party complaining. Is that, or did you refer to gossip there?
Yes, I do consider gossip to be third-party complaining because, in my experience, we don't gossip about people who are like us or complain about people who are like us. We complain and gossip about people who we see are not like us. And we often gossip about people in a negative way as a way of making us look positive by making an invidious comparison to them. In other words, if you talk about somebody's particular habits or dress or whatever, it's a way of saying, and I don't have that character flaw. So in many ways, and this again goes back to one of the five reasons people complain that Robin figured out, and that is to brag or to inspire envy is how I call it. And so, yes, I feel that people complain as a way of making themselves superior, and that's what's behind a lot of gossip.
Well, I have to tell you, I studied family therapy way back in the early 70s when it was just being developed. And there was one of the early theorists, Murray Bowen, said that the most stable relationship is a three-person relationship. So that when there was tension between the two, that they could agree that there was something wrong with the other person, and that stabilized the relationship. You know, it's like you know, when you and your wife aren't getting along, you can agree that, you know, your cousin's a pain in the butt anyway, and then you feel better. That was the theory, and you know what? In a way, that makes sense.
Well, it goes back to one of the five reasons people complain, which is also to have power or build alliances, and that's what people do too in relationships. They'll complain to another person.
Let's go to the phones. We've got Carolyn on the line. Hey, Carolyn.
Hey, how are you? Actually, I just wanted to refer to something that you kind of just said, which is, you know, and I'm not advocating for like chronic complaining, but from a psychological point of view, you know, isn't it just a little bit unhealthy to kind of keep everything bottled up all the time, you know?
Well, let me put you on the spot. What do you do when you feel things bottled up inside?
Well, when I feel things bottled up inside, I mean, I feel, and this has been, you know, I'm very aware of this. By the way, I come from a family of complainers. So I'm very aware of this. And I try to, again, not be a chronic complainer, but yeah, I feel like I need sometimes an outlet, and I've thought, well, I don't know, maybe I should journal, but I guess there's something about, you know, telling someone and having them understand and be like, you know what, having that empathy, I understand.
Do you find,
you know, I guess that's what I want.
Do you find it helpful?
Yeah, if I feel like someone listens to me for a little bit and understands and, you know, doesn't just try to, you know, change the subject, I feel like, okay, they understand me. Wow, now I can move on. Now I can say what was good about my day. Hmm. I don't know, is there something to that? Is it just me?
No, I'm sure there is, Robin.
Yeah, let me address that. One of my, probably my best academic mentor is James Pennebaker in Texas, and he has done research on disclosures of traumatic events and finds that people who disclose traumatic events that they've never disclosed before experienced improved physical and psychological health. And while in no way am I equating complaining with the disclosure of traumatic events, I did model a lot of my complaining research on his research with traumatic events. And so in terms of the expressive function of complaining, again, done strategically and in moderation, so that qualifier has to be in there, I think there can be some merit to that. You know, so if you mentioned, you know, as long as they don't turn away from me, or I can't remember the exact words that the caller used. But, you know, if you pick your audience carefully, you know, somebody that's going to give you the response that you need for that expressive complaint, then I think there can be some merit to it, particularly if the type of complainer that the person is not somebody who just goes off to everybody about the same thing over and over and over again, because then there's no inhibition. They're not holding anything back, so there's no physical or psychological benefit to be had. And there are some people who do that. So, you know, that's part of the strategic nature of complaining, is not expressing dissatisfaction all the time. There's absolutely no benefit to that. Well, there must be to somebody, or else they wouldn't do it. But for most people, there's not. But it's that being very selective in what you express dissatisfaction about and to whom you express that dissatisfaction.
And you know, you sound a little bit like Will in the word mindful around these bracelets. Help you be mindful. And I would, you know, be mindful when you complain about what it is you want, what it is you really want when you complain, before you open your mouth, because there's some distress in there inside when you complain. So what's the distress and what do you really want?
I think mindfulness is key.
Yeah. And that's not a form. We're not talking about sitting on a cushion. We're just talking about being awake and aware to your life.
I think there's a common myth that we need to express our grief, pain, and discontent to get it out. There is this myth that we need to vent, and actually there was a study done at the University of Michigan that disproved this, and the bottom line is that if we needed to vent our unhappiness to be happy, then the biggest complainers would be the happiest people, and we know that's not to be true. So there is some benefit to sharing with one person, to have that person show compassion and commiserate so much, but just understand, absolutely. But to go around and tell everybody is only going to keep the situation active in our minds and therefore in our lives.
We've got to take a short break, Robin, and we'll be back in just a couple of seconds. We're talking with Robin Kowalski and Will Bowen about complaining, what it is, why we do it, what we're looking for, and what we can do when we listen to complainers or try not to listen to complainers. But now we want to go to the opposite side of the spectrum. This is your opportunity to actually do something and not just complain, but talk about what's good in your life and demonstrate your thanks to WHYY, to Voices in the Family, to this amazing tool you have here at WHYY. You can do that by listening to my friends Mike and Scott and Jennifer Lynn over there at Pledge Central, and show your support. Show your support for all of us here who try to put the best product we can at your doorstep every day.
Gosh, Dan, thank you. And you've done our job. I mean, Mike and I don't have to say anything. We're done. This is WHYY. I'm Jennifer Lynn here with Mike and Scott. Pledge Central with our volunteers from CASA, court appointed.
Special Advocates of Philadelphia County.
Yeah, they're working hard. They're taking your calls at 1-888-345-9499, pledging your support for Voices in the Family and our other great programming here on WHYY. You know, Dan and his guests are talking about complaining today, when it's useful, when it's not. And I see complaining as a way of connecting, right? But I can think of a better way to connect, like when you listen and learn something new from one of our programs here on the radio. That is a connection. And when you pick up the phone and tell us that you love this programming that you're learning from every single day, that's an extension of that connection. 1-888-345-9499. Connect with us now. We need your support this hour right now.
Yeah, for Voices in the Family, one of our flagship shows that has been with WHYY for decades now, and it is the kind of thing that people return to, stay with, because they like the gentle wisdom, as I like to call it, that Dan brings into the picture. It's not 5 steps, 10 steps, do this, do that. It's kind of very gentle and saying, look, we're human. You know, there is no easy answer, but there's a lot of humor to be had, and there is just understanding and empathy, and those qualities are important. So that's what Dan brings to the table, and we're hoping that you will right now make the decision to support public radio, because we can't do this kind of show without your support. Dan is not Dr. Phil for a reason. Dan is Dan, and he lives on public radio because that's where somebody like Dan finds a home and where the listeners appreciate him. 1-888-345-9499 is our number.
There is no one like Dan on the radio dial.
Nope.
He is only here. Now, I've worked on Voices in the Family in the past 3 years.
Yep.
I've gotten to sit with you, Mike, and Dan, and other producers, and talk about the show, what the content is going to be. Dan does not change from that meeting to when he goes on the air. Dan is Dan.
Right.
You get this warm guy, a gentle spirit, great humor, great knowledge, great experience. His curiosity makes him someone who we go to learn a bit more about ourselves and others around us. It's invaluable. And now, again, let's talk about that connection, completing the cycle. He gives you so much. We really need you to help support him and our other wonderful shows. 1-888-345-9499 or online today at whyy.org.
All right, just a little bit of time left to get your support for Voices in the Family. We're not complaining that the phones aren't ringing as much as we
could.
We could, yes, but we're not going to, because we're going to focus on the positive here. And you're right, Jennifer. I mean, complaining is a way to connect with people sometimes. You know, when you just say, God, can you believe all this rain, or this bus is late again? So it's just an easy way to connect with people. But I've been finding this show very helpful today in terms of how to deal with our own urge to complain sometimes, what to do when people complain too much and it's bringing you down at work. 1-888-345-9499. I also want to thank quickly the folks at Four Fathers Philadelphia. They are an old city and they brought us lunch today, so we appreciate that. A lot of people in the community help us out.
You know, I hear a flurry now. We've got the phones going, a couple of pings, and I know you've been wanting to give all day, and the day slips away from you. So just take a moment, take a breath. This is a great hour to do that. You know that. Make good on your intention. 1-888-345-9499 or online at whyy.org. Thank you so much.
Supporting WHYY, the Garrett and Tatiana Copeland Arrhythmia Center at ChristianaCare offers care for people who experience irregular heartbeat, also known as arrhythmia. For those with a racing heart or one that beats too slowly, who have had problems with their heartbeat or have fainted, an arrhythmia assessment may be needed. ChristianaCare encourages people with these symptoms to talk to a doctor. For more information or to make an appointment, 800-693-CARE or ChristianaCare.org/arrhythmia.
Devereaux is a proud supporter of WHYY. For more than 100 years, Devereaux has provided care to individuals with developmental disabilities and mental and behavioral health disorders. Devereaux's work also includes its full continuum of autism-specific programming for individuals of all ages, including residential services, community-based group homes, employment training, and support and educational programs. For more information on Devereaux's autism-specific services, devereaux.org.
We are back on Voices in the Family. I'm Dan Gottlieb, your host. We're talking about complaining with Dr. Robin Kowalski, professor of psychology at Clemson, author of complaining, teasing, and other annoying behaviors, and Will Bowen, a motivational speaker, author of A Complaint-Free World. You know, as we were talking on the air, I was reminded of an old story from Yiddish theater. And on this story, there's a man taking a train from here to Chicago, and an old man gets on the train, sits next to him. And you know he's going to be there for 10 hours. And the old man starts saying, "Oh, am I thirsty? Oh, am I?" And this goes on for a while. So the young guy gets up, doesn't say a word, goes to the car and gets him a bottle of water, brings it back. The old man drinks all the water down very quickly, and then he starts saying, "Oh, was I thirsty? Oh, was I thirsty?" So, you know, it's not about the water. It's about the communication. Let's go to the phones. We've got Janet on the line. Hi, Janet.
Hi, Dr. Gottlieb. Thank you for the show.
Sure.
I'm calling to say that I am a complainer. I am a complainer on a global level. I don't know if this applies to your show, but I have no personal complaints, but I seem to be compelled to complain about the state of the world, the government, the politicians, blah, 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 all things that no one can do anything about. And I'm beginning to feel it's a compulsion, and I'm beginning to wonder if I'm becoming a very annoying person.
Janet, do you know that you called this show to complain about yourself?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, I listened to that, and I think to myself, thank God we have Will and Robin here to answer all of these questions. Who wants to go first? Will?
You know, it's interesting you say that you're one of the biggest complainers. Everywhere I go, I hear people say that they are the biggest complainers themselves, and that you've made a brilliant observation, and that is that your complaints aren't really making things in any way better. So the question I would ask is, how do they make you feel energetically? Do you feel happy as a result of expressing this negativity to people, or does it maybe make you feel unhappy, in which case you might want to review and consider changing and beginning to speak more positively?
Janet, what's the answer?
I believe it could be a matter of ego. I think I'm compelled to, that people know I know what's going on in the world. But
well,
it doesn't make me feel good. It just is like a compulsion.
Well, wait a minute. I don't, with all due respect for your analysis, which might be right and it might not be, the question is, how does it feel to you in your body when you complain?
Not good.
Tell me what it does feel. I mind if I push here a little bit?
No, not at all.
Tell me what it does feel. Good is what it doesn't feel. What does it feel?
It doesn't feel happy. It doesn't make me certainly feel happy.
Okay.
It feels as if I put it out there, but it's not doing anything for me.
Okay. And what's the it that you want to put out there?
It's not positive. It's negative.
Let me push some more.
Okay.
You're looking for something.
I hope you're not going to charge me for this.
Oh, no, it's... honey, it's our fundraiser here.
Yes, I know.
It's our fund... So, yeah, I... Damn right I'm going to charge you for this. You're going to call in for the fundraiser.
I've already done that.
All right. Okay, so then I got nothing to say to you. No, seriously, Janet, you know, you are looking for something. You're looking to feel better. You're looking to be happier. You're looking for something when you're doing this. So instead of judging yourself or judging the world, you know, just kind of stay with you and see what you're looking for, what you've been looking for that you haven't gotten for all these years. Just be quiet with yourself. Just sit with yourself just for a few minutes, and you've got a much better chance of getting what your body, mind, has been looking for a long time. Janet, we're going to have to say goodbye to you, because we're going to have to say goodbye to the show in just a couple of minutes. Robin, you wanted to chime in.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, what it sounded like you were saying, kind of back to your justice comment at the beginning of the show, was complaining in response to a sense of injustice. And to the degree that, mm-hmm. you know, once you sit down and analyze it, you know, if that turns out to be true, then I would encourage her to do something about it, you know, to become involved, not necessarily on a national level, although that's certainly a possibility, but, you know, whether it's in the political arena or some other arena, to get involved in local politics, for example. So if she's really that dissatisfied, become proactive and actually take initiative to do something.
I have always believed that the path to mental health is through the route of pursuing social health. Unfortunately, we've got to go. I want to thank Robin Kowalski so much for your work and for your book, and check her out on our webpage. Please join our research. We're at whyy.org/voices. It's been a pleasure. Will Bowen, thank you. It's been delightful hanging out with you for this hour.
My honor. Thank you, Dr. Dan.
Thanks for your work. Like I said, we're going to go over to Pledge Central now. Please, thanks to everyone who already pledged your money to support this show. Mike and Jennifer,
thank you,
take
Dan.
It away.
Oh, great show today. Really loved it. Good afternoon. Thanks for listening to WHYY first and foremost. I'm Jennifer Lynn in Pledge Central with Mike and Scott, and we're reaching out to you for new membership or membership renewal. All you have to do is pick up the phone, 1-888-345-9499, or go online at whyy.org. Mike and Dan's guests, Will Bowen and Dr. Robin Kowalski, they don't just pop out of thin air.
No.
You know, I mean, Gita Simons, the producer, has to contact them and pre-interview them and schedule them. And Dan weighs in and creates his questions. There's a whole process that is very valuable. It takes time. We value the people who make all this happen. And there's a price that's associated with their dedication to making fabulous radio for you. And you can keep that ball rolling here. Show your appreciation. All you have to do is check in with us right now in your spare time if you've just got a few moments. 1-888-345-9499.
And I really enjoyed today's show about complaining. It's a topic that I think all of us can relate to. All of us do it. All of us sometimes suffer from it. It can affect work relationships. It can bring down entire offices. I've seen it happen, you know, where all of a sudden you have a staff that complains a lot, and then it's just, the mood just goes into the basement and it's awful. So I felt today's show was very helpful because it gave people some options. Here are some things you can do if you feel like, you know, all this complaining is bringing you down. Here's what you can do. So that's something I always appreciate about Voices in the Family, that there's always something I hear that I can take away where I feel like, okay, I can do that. And if you support and want to appreciate and support this kind of advice that you get from Voices in the Family, give us a call. 1-888-345-9499.
Dan's shows are completely hands-on. Mm-hmm. He is like hanging out with